This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit.
She said shit. Taylor Swift said shit.
Welcome to GCF Second Service. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have Second Service.
Actually, for this episode, I'm Taylor Line.
You're Taylor Line?
Whoa, yeah. Taylor Line. Already rebranding.
Yep.
And similar to Taylor herself.
It's a special edition Caroline just for the folklore launch. We collabed.
Every Taylor Swift gif I sent to Caroline today, she only responded with Rihanna.
Which my small way of fighting back.
Small way of fighting back the burn heard around the world a couple years ago.
Don't bring this up. It still hurts my feelings.
Truly? I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? You know who doesn't hurt my feelings? Special guest Anthony Trolley, who's joining
That's
us
right.
today.
He's back.
Hey, he's
Hello.
Back, baby.
I'm sorry. I spoke before you introduced me. I know that there is a rhythm to these things, and I already screwed it up.
We do this every time. We're not playing.
We should
these
probably
games.
Restart.
We don't bring you on because you play by the rules.
You're right.
You are kind of the bad boy of GCF, and that's why we like you.
I'm glad you recognize
Wait,
it. I am a bad
me.
Boy.
I'm not
Thank
the
you.
Bad boy of GCF.
No, Kevin, you're the baddest boy of GCF.
Thank you. Trolley, thanks for joining us again, bud.
You said we're talking Tay, and I said when.
Yeah, no, truly, this is our first time having you on the pod during our, what we'll call our pandemic season that lasts until 2023. The next 150 episodes of GCF will be in Quarkor. And is this your first podcast you're doing remotely, by the way?
I think it is, really. I mean, it is very odd that, like, being at my house right now, but also it's so comfortable, you know? Like, I feel more like I can fart in here than in your place. And that's
totally.
That to me is truly the sign of, like, a good podcast space.
Yeah. Can I tell you something?
Tell me.
Sometimes I'm out here alone and I have a little too, and then I get like really worried that Kevin's going to hear it on the recording.
He's going to hear it
no,
in my earbud.
So I edit at 1.5 speed, and sometimes you do miss those little nuances.
That's fine. I mean, I'd be fine if it went out on air, you know, just as long as Kevin didn't know.
You got to air it out. You got
to
air it out.
Slow down the editing
it
process.
It's painful. Wait, yeah, so that's one positive.
Should we do, you know, kind of like the Wet Hot American Summer fart track that they did on the DVD a couple years ago? Should we do a Patreon
yeah
level?
We all remember the fart track on the Wet Hot Summer DVD.
Okay,
yeah.
Should we do a Patreon level where we add farts to the
first
program?
Of all, for branding purposes, it's called a toot track. And
a toot track, yes, excuse me.
A toot track, yeah.
So Wet Hot American Summer, Caroline, there is on the special features of the original movie that came out in 2000, there is an audio version where they just add farts to every
to
scene,
the whole movie
to the whole movie yes and so just everything is just like
Kevin was that what has inspired you to do that when we do our Heaven and For Reals or is that just your own stroke of genius?
No, yeah, that was a KTP
that was all
ridge.
You
oh my
okay
gosh.
Wow.
So I want to talk about this summer as far as music goes, because I feel like it's been an interesting way to experience the new albums coming out. Now music isn't something you do communally. It's not something that you meet with people and gather around. You can't go to concerts. You can't listen to stuff together, really. Now it's like signals that people are sending you from their home bases, or like essentially Spotify and all these streaming services are like little UPS people delivering these music packages to where you are. So we've gotten, during the pandemic, we've gotten Fetch the Bolt Cutters. We've gotten Gaslighter. We've gotten Women in Music Part 3. We've gotten frickin' Chromatica. And now we get Taylor Swift's Folklore, a surprise.
And Dua Lipa.
What's that?
Dua Lipa.
We got a Dua Lipa. Yeah, that was at the beginning, wasn't it? That was like, like late March, early April, maybe. So, yeah.
I don't know. It's all a blur to me at this point.
There's no time. There's no time and space. And by the way, I can't wait to turn 31. Next year in 2021, mulligan on all birthdays this year.
We don't this year's birthday. Yeah.
We're all going to Margot Robbie it up, lie about our ages, and just skip a year.
I would love that.
So, wait, how old is Margot Robbie?
No one truly knows, but it's like a rumor mill because everyone's like, look at what she accomplished by age 29. It's like, check the Australian passports again, man. You might find a missing number or two.
This is like the Obama birth certificate of 2020.
Yeah. I'm a Margot Robbie birther for sure.
It's really important to me. And yeah, apparently Australia, it's like famously easy to change your age once you go live in another country.
Nicole Kidman is 90. Not a lot of people know that. She is.
That
she
I
looks
do.
Great.
She looks awesome.
That's why she looks like a walking skeleton.
So for both of you during pandemic stuff, I'm curious to see, like, besides all the Christian music we talk about on the show, what you both have gravitated towards, what's been comforting, what have been some of your favorite albums besides Folklore, which we're about to talk about, but how you've experienced music during this time.
You know what? I gotta say, like, that Haim album, like, Women in Music Part 3 rocked my freaking socks off. Like, I loved it from start to finish. I mean, every single that they put out for the last, like, what seemed like forever. It seemed like they've been putting out singles for the last, like, 3 years, with Hallelujah coming out in, like, what, 2018? 20, yeah. It's just, like, there was so much about that album, like, building up. And I wasn't even a Haim fan. Like, I thought they were fine, but I was like, I was never like, oh, they're really killing it. Finally, like, they've been like,
you.
The last 2 years of music has just been absolutely perfect for me. I just wish I could enjoy it outside of the sort of walls of coronavirus.
That's been one of my go-tos, because sometimes I'll meet a person in the park and stay 6 feet away on our little blankies, and then bring a little my JBL speaker, and I'll put on Women in Music Part 3. That's like an easy, that one, and I think Phoebe Bridgers' Punisher, which the artwork for which is such a mirror image of the Folklore artwork. It is like a small woman, like, at the bottom of the frame looking up in a huge expanse, which she tweeted about. Thoughts and prayers with her as she gets anytime she wants in Ireland right now. Hats off to her and Paul Mescal.
She's very cool. I like the artwork a lot on that one. She's, for those of you who don't know, she's wearing like a skeleton, like the classic Halloween skeleton outfit.
Oh.
Kind of like in the middle of the desert at night or something.
Yeah, it's such an evocative album cover. I love it so much. And it really is.
Spooky.
Yeah, this guy right here. Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so great. Okay, so you've gravitated towards Haim and the slow build-up.
Is it Haim or Haim?
It is Haim, I believe. Like,
I know it sounds bad, but it was always so close to Hymen that I didn't want to say that.
That's a valid pronunciation.
Well, Haim
as
is close to Maim, trolley.
Yeah, exactly.
Or came. That's even worse.
Oh, no.
No, it's even better.
It's both disrespectful.
What about you, Caroline? What has been your favorite? Did you stand Chromatica? How did you land on that?
I liked kind of the big songs off of it. Uh-huh. Beyond that, I wouldn't say it really grabbed me. I don't know if I've like really been on a music discovery tear in quarantine. I feel like if I have time to listen to something, I listen to a podcast instead, just something like silly and light. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sort of like, because you can't see people, that you have to fill the void of that.
Yeah, maybe that is. Yeah, maybe it is like my way of like, I'm socially like depleted, and that's what I'm doing.
That might be a part of it. Yeah,
Yeah, I'd say the only song that has really rocked me is Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton, which I'm still listening to. Honestly, I can't stop.
Did you like rediscover it
she
for
did.
Some reason?
No, yeah. Caroline put together a really cool playlist for me of like, I believe it's called Here You Come Again in order of sadder to happier. What's the title
of
it?
Yeah, like most, I think most sad to most fun.
Yeah, it's great.
All the different covers of that song, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first time I heard it was a cover, and I didn't even know it was a Dolly song. And the cover is like a very booty, you know, like sad, spare cover of it. And then when I heard the real Dolly song, I was like, this is even better. It was all good.
That's like when after Glee, I described Landslide as, you know, that Dixie Chicks song. And my ass was roasted by my friend who adored the talking. I had a friend who adored the Talking Heads, and I had a little crush on her. So I got into all the Talking Heads discography at the
Good
time
gracious.
To try to like, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you know, and it obviously didn't work out, but I'm also pretty grateful for that, because that being the gateway into Talking Heads, because now I really like Talking Heads. It was,
you're talking
and you're going to have to listen to the next episode where we are talking Heads.
Talking Heads. That is an Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman podcast right now, actually. So I was listening to it the other day, and I sent little screen caps to her. It was fun.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that was the thing.
Although weirdly with her, it was Talking Heads and then Kings of Leon. Those were her two bands, which feel worlds apart to me.
Hold on. At her defense, Kings of Leon were pretty solid all the way through, what, 2008?
Yeah, when they fell off the old rocking horse, if you will.
I mean, they put out that, I mean, they were pretty incredible. I saw them live a few times, and I was like, holy shit, this is rock and roll.
My brother saw them live in Dallas when they vomited and left the stage after four songs.
Oh my God.
Is that the one where they broke up? Like, didn't it? Because they broke up for a while. They're all like brothers and cousins. I don't know. It's very incestual.
Yeah, they're all preachers' kids too. There's a lot there.
Yeah. God. There's a lot. We can dive into that another day. But yeah. They are
Well, the King of Queens of Kings of Leon. Yeah. I know. It was a funny one for my brother to go to. A man who, like, especially pre-children, did not go to that many concerts to be
Is this what concerts are like?
Badass one.
Yeah, I know.
I go to a concert to be worried about the artist's health and safety.
Yeah.
I felt really lucky to hear more than three songs. That was cool.
I went to the Meat Loaf show where he had a heart attack. Oh, great.
I like to think from now on, if you go to Kings of Leon shows, you have to wear like a giant like poncho or something. You're in the first few rows.
Kevin. It's like a Gallagher show where you get in the splash zone. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's definitely.
Kevin, what have been your new discoveries in quarantine?
Well, I am struggling.
One, folklore. Two, folklore. Three,
folklore acoustic version.
Candlelight version of Cardigans.
I've discovered an album that's a concept album taking songs from my favorite musical and making them about Christmas. And it's called The Greatest Snowman. And it's just every song
for
The Greatest.
You be careful. Hugh Jackman will star in that.
I did not see that movie because I was like, oh, it's called The Greatest Snowman. I always thought it was The Greatest Snowman. And I was the premise of that just sounds lame. Like, what makes it so special? Like,
we
I
all
don't
know The Greatest Snowman is Jack Frost, the Michael Keaton vehicle from the late 90s that Paul Tompkins is like an extra in. Very interesting stuff.
He's an extra in everything. I forgot that he was an extra in There Will Be Blood. Or no, he's not even an extra. He's just
he's in it. He gets tagged. Mr. Plainview, our town needs you. We gain nothing by losing our heads. That's his big improv from that one.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you know not only the filmography of Paul F. Tompkins, but every single line he's ever
Which
said.
Which parts he... Well, I mean, listen, that's his PTA work is pretty unparalleled. But as far as new musical stuff, I don't know. I still feel like Fetch the Bolt Cutters is, even though it wasn't made in quarantine, it is such a quarantine album that it feels like it's still the album of the pandemic and will always associate with that. Even though, like, the rest of these albums and songs that have come out in the last couple months, I think will thrive in different contexts. I wonder if FTB thrives in this context the most in terms of isolation and the sound of it and the feeling. And then otherwise, as far as like new musical discoveries that are like not just the newest current release, our friend Liz Maupin, who is a comedy producer here in LA, posts the best little musical discoveries and tastes. And I'll go down a rabbit hole, like just listening to those and then like radio stations based on that. And I will say the Roberta Flack just put out a revival of her first album, whose name I'm forgetting right now. Oh, it's First Take. And all those songs are gorgeous. I've been re-enjoying Roberta Flack. First time I ever saw Your Face, Trade Winds, things of that nature. So I recommend
Amazing.
That.
And I wish I had anything to give on any of
give folklore. You love folklore.
We can talk about
it. I do love folklore.
We're recording this the week after Folklore comes out. We're recording this the night before this episode comes out, which, you know,
so good morning.
It's kind of like GCF. Every episode of that is like a little folklore because we don't announce that it's coming out, but it does.
And it has all of your favorite, what did she say? All of my favorite whimsies and...
Whimsies.
What did she say? Oh, what was the official statement?
My imagination has been running wild.
The statement? I love it so much. I think it's so terrific. My imagination has been running wild. This is definitely not a marketing thing where this album that I was definitely making and intending for fall, we pushed up by 3 months because there was a gap in the schedule. Most of the things I'd planned this summer didn't end up happening, but there's something I hadn't planned on that did happen. And that thing is my 8th studio album, Folklore. Surprise!
Yeah, the surprise got me. It actually made me laugh when I read that.
Here's the thing we were quoting. I've poured all of my whims, dreams, fears, and musings into. I wrote and recorded this music in isolation, but got to collaborate with some musical heroes. Aaron Dessner from The National, Bon Iver, we all know, and William Bowery. Friends, who is William Bowery? Are you guys on this Reddit thing?
No.
No.
She's
William Bowery?
I've heard that it could be her boyfriend.
Joe Alwyn.
Yeah.
Do you guys think they're still together?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so.
And I think like, there's been enough quotes from Aaron and Bon Iver, like, who basically just said that like he was in the studio a lot and helped the songwriting process and stuff. So
he went, "Hey love, I have an idea for a little bit of a word or lyric or something.
What if cheerio?"
Now this reminds me of the time I got a dry hand job from Emma Stone in The
Favourite.
In
London we call them a mirror ball, not a disco ball.
A disco deck, you say? I
got a dry hand job. That's so nice to like put a face to the name, you know?
He's a handyman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love artists of this stature doing releases like this. I don't need your 3-month buildup. Give it to me 24 hours before. We have enough time on Twitter to have fun, and then we get to listen to. I wish all major movies and music would come out like this. 24
just
hours
notice. A day is like plenty.
That's
of time
all I need.
Internet time.
I think it's
like you
great.
Can say so much in that time.
Well, I'm just so sick of like the single process that stretches out over months and months and months. I'm like, just give me the out. Like Haim. The way Haim did it.
He's got it.
I was just like, please just release this album. But I know that they were hard at work and, you know, on the road and whatnot. So I'm not that mad. And they contributed to Vampire Weekend so much. So I was like, yeah.
Well, and think about like the lack of rollout with this album as compared to other ones. Because the cycle with the last, what, 3 albums is the single comes out like 3 or 4 months before the actual album does. And we all go, oh.
Yeah.
Why is that your single? That's Shake It Off, that's Look What You Made Me Do, and that's Me.
Why does she pick all the worst
She
singles?
Picks the worst one. I think we talked about that last time. By the way, shouts out to Anna Lore, who despite sharing a name with the album, is not on this episode. We love her. We miss her every day.
The other part with the Taylor rollout is it's like you have to get into numerology. You have to be doing the Da Vinci Code every day with her Instagram. And like, it. Don't get me wrong, like that's fun. And I like to read when someone recaps after they've done all the legwork on that stuff. But it is like... exhausting, especially
no,
when
I mean, just, they
It's like, we don't need it. Yeah,
they pumped this out so quick. They pumped this out so quick that they didn't even capitalize the letters in the track list.
They forgot to capitalize the letters. I noticed that too, Trolley. Isn't that weird? That's crazy, right?
Mm, yeah, just so fast they had to get it out.
Sloppy. Well, the other thing with Taylor is like it feels like with even this album, though, there still is such like a mood board and a vibe and an aesthetic to it. And I feel like all her other albums, there's all this rollout because she's trying to build like a whole theme park for when you come to her concert, and it's like all themed around whatever that was, you know, with like Reputation, she went really hard on that.
Yeah.
And so, but it is interesting because I feel Folklore, like it's still there. It's just like a chill theme. And so you can't really go super hard on like the wall murals in Nashville or whatever with like folk songs.
Yeah, it's super well thought out. But I think the lack of, yeah, marketing opportunities does lend it more authenticity just by their non-existence, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, and just like building off that, I do think that this is the most authentic Taylor Swift album we've had in years. Like,
years.
It doesn't feel like she's trying to be anybody else other than Taylor Swift. And I do wonder if that's because, is this her first album on her new record label?
No, I think technically Lover was the first one.
Oh, okay, got it. Because yeah. I remember like she like left the past. There was all that drama, and I was like, I don't need to read about this right now.
Well, I texted you guys about this before. I thought what might be fun as a way to get into talking about it, and we can even do it like a quick track by track and blast through them. But I thought it might be fun to, this is a 16 song album. If we like make five cuts, if we like can agree upon five songs where it's like, you know what? We don't need these five songs.
So Kevin, 16 songs is so long.
What? I have a what?
I can't wait.
Well,
to
Kevin's
cut.
Theory is that no, well, it's not even a theory. It's just you said that no album should be past 11 songs.
No.
So
I don't think so. No, I think it feels glutty.
With confidence.
Unless it's like a 30-second interlude or like a skit on a rap album. No. There's
I know. It is funny with Taylor Swift because I feel like a lot of her albums are so long. Her albums just feel like when I saw it was 16 tracks, it was the first time I'd seen, like, I had to scroll and I was like, oh my God, this is going to take me a while. This is basically, you know, the infinite jest of albums every time she releases something.
I mean, it's only an hour long, which is like,
I have things to do, Caroline. I can't.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Lover was 18 songs. So she's pulling it back.
Yeah, Lover was huge.
So offensive to me. But okay, so I thought maybe that'd be a fun way and we can like kind of get into taste stuff with that. And then maybe rank the album in context of her other albums. But first, I just wanted to get y'all's first impressions of the album, how it struck you and then how it's evolved in your listening of it the last week. And I want to start with Caroline with that.
I was pretty much underwhelmed at first. I wasn't really doing like a close listen. I was just sort of had it on as I was going. Mm-hmm. This album doesn't reward casual listening. I think it really only rewards like a close listen and like giving it your full attention, like over the ears, headphones, long walk, listening to Taylor talk for a long time. So when I did that, it's like very moving. It's a lot of lyrics. It's a lot of stories and like euphemism and symbolism and all that stuff that you can like play around with and reinterpret over and over. And it is weird when she introduced this album, though, is like intentionally not all of these songs are about me, which has always been the case with her albums. Like that's kind of the fun of them, too, is like which boyfriend is this about and which ex-friend is this about and all that stuff. And this is like, you're supposed to do a little more work and imagine her being a writer, basically, and just writing stories. So that was kind of fun, too. But that said, I still found a lot that I was like, oh, this is totally about Taylor, about her life. And that's, I don't know, that's just like, that's part of the delight of being a Taylor fan. Like, if you're that invested in her personal life, like, you're going to get a great payoff in the album, and she will give you both.
Yeah, you get you a Taylor Swift who can do both. And Charlie, you shared some of your impressions already, but how did it evolve for you in listening?
Well, I mean, first of all, when I found out that she was working with, you know, members of The National and Bon Iver and things like that, I'm already such a sucker for both of those bands. Like, I love that sad boy music. Like, to me, I'm just like, I don't know, but I'll eat it up every time you put it in front of me.
Sure.
But I really love this album because, like, it kind of, you know, you take this really beautiful and sort of like sad instrumentation, but the lyrics themselves like don't feel bitter the way that most of her past albums have. Like whenever she's talking about breakups and things like that, it seems like, oh, you broke up with me? Well, I'll show you. And she didn't seem mad about the past or like the heartbreak that came with it in this album. And that's what I loved so much about it. Like for the first time in so long, she really seemed at peace with where she's at in the world. Mm. And she's like, she feels like, it feels like she knows herself better than she ever has. Like, if it felt, like I said, authentic. It didn't feel like, oh, I'm gonna try to be this like bad girl that people, she thinks people want her to be.
Yeah, she's a singer songwriter. I am now. Yeah,
yeah, like she's a singer songwriter, and like not that that's limiting, it's just more like what we expect from that instead of a pop star is authenticity. And so to have this like really natural feel to it, it made for me the most interesting listen, you know, out of the latest albums that she's put out probably in the last like 10 years.
Ooh, what a statement.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's how I feel, man.
I think I think for me it did strike me at first as her putting on another costume. Where it's like, okay, Reputation. I'm a freaking snake now, and 1989 is I'm your little Instax model, and this one felt like, what if I went to the woods? And I think maybe it's just triggering anytime someone poses in the woods. Ever since Justin Timberlake's Man in the Woods album, where it's like, oh, I don't think I want this. So even like the imagery
ruined the woods.
Yeah, and listening she's to it at first, I was like,
also it doesn't help that she's in like a giant coat that's like, what is it? Looks like a rug, and it's
I liked it.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. Well, it was just like, I don't.
Yeah, it's like shapeless on purpose. Like,
Like, I will say, I didn't care for a lot of the artwork. And like on Spotify, they have like the little
videos,
yeah, loops and things.
Auto videos.
She's wearing these like old, like Victorian, like gowns or something. Not even, I wouldn't say Victorian gowns. Like, I don't know what they are. But I'm like, I don't know why that's the thing she chose to wear for this. But
Taylor Swift is vintage now. She's retro. She's a rockabilly. She loves going to hot rod shows. Like, this is her now. You have to get used to it.
Caroline, I just sent you the, or it's sending now. I'm sending you the photo that is proof of me and Anthony seeing each other earlier today. Uh-oh. That I think should be our art for this episode.
It looks perfect. And it's, oh my gosh. I'm like the flatness of this photo.
And it's
by the way, can I give you guys a new nickname?
Okay.
I think you two are the Cabana Boys.
Oh,
because we're both wearing shorts. Is that why you said
that? And you're always hanging out at the pool together. Well, like, you are the Cabana Boys or the pool boys, whatever you prefer.
I do live in a pool house, and I have, you know, sort of been trying to brand myself as a Cabana Boy for a long time now. But
Trilly, I mean, with the hair too, you kind of have a Harry Styles thing going on. And like,
Caroline,
I'm just saying the transition would not be hard. I know.
Whoa.
I have a Christian wife at the end of the day, but also I just like have to call it when I see it.
Well, what else do I have to do to really embrace my inner Harry Styles?
You kind of have to start wearing like more femme clothing and just like generally be high and not give a fuck and be really sweet, you know, and just be a sweetie.
Well, check and check.
I could do that.
Okay, so one thing about Taylor that I think is interesting in hearing you two talk about this album is I get the sense that you two aren't really excited or drawn to Taylor Swift, the pop star.
You mean
Taylor Swift, the writer.
All the extracurricular stuff?
No, I'm saying just like her more poppy persona and songs and attitude. Because I'm hearing words like that's like this album is more authentic or this is more interesting or I feel like it's more her. and that other stuff you feel like is trappings.
I thought it was like kind of costuming and trappings like, and then listening to it more and it kind of revealing itself and getting past like the musical stuff, which, you know, because it is co-written, a lot of it doesn't start with her musically, and it is like pretty collaborative with Dessner and Antonoff and those guys. Once I got past it, I did have more of a trolley take on it. But as a pop star, I think the reductive take right now is that this is Taylor coming back to her roots. There's a harmonica on Betty and it's storytelling. It's like, that is true to a large degree. And there are aesthetics that feel like that. But also it is a disservice to the pop stuff to say that like Blank Space isn't as personal as Seven. And I think, so there's a weird thing that like, the aesthetics and like, look, she's in a cabin, look at the tree, she's real, can get in the way of like, that can be as true as like songs on Red. So yeah. I feel like
that's how I feel too. I feel like the pop star Taylor is also very much who Taylor is. I mean, she doesn't have to be just one thing. Everybody can be multitudes or whatever. But I also love like swaggery, bratty Taylor too, you know?
Petty
like
Taylor? Really, oh yeah.
Petty or like cheerleader Taylor. Like, I think that's also totally her thing and what I love about her as well, and like kind of what got me in the first place.
The versatility of her as a pop star and a singer-songwriter is, I think, why she's going to do this until she's like 85, and it's going to it's going to all age great, because it's very few people that could switch modes and have it be as well, because Folklore is a huge hit. It's done insane numbers. It might be on track to do better than Lover at this point. And we'll get to like comparisons with Lover later. But I feel like there's very few people that can occupy that space, and it doesn't feel inauthentic. And even as we've discussed
or
before,
just like they're not pulling it off.
Yeah, like even Gaga doing Joanne feels,
we'll never agree on Joanne. We'll never agree.
Right, but we can agree that it was not as well received by the public, even if you liked it. It was not well.
Okay, yeah, if the public is our measure of worth.
I'm just saying, what? Bad Boys for Life is the highest grossing movie of 2020, therefore the best. I'm just saying, like, culturally, sometimes the moves pop stars make can feel kind of reactive.
Yeah,
and I feel like if Joanne was received a different way, then, like, we may not have A Star Is Born and then back to Chromatica. You know what I mean? Whereas I feel like Taylor truly is following the thing. Whereas, like, I don't think this feels like a reaction or a correction from Lover. This is just like, yeah, I want to do this now. Like, it doesn't feel it's, as... Yeah.
What I will say is, like, I like the pop stuff. Like, the pop stuff is very fun. It's bubblegum. It's, like, ice cream. It's fun. It's, you know, we all
sometimes
love it.
Sometimes it's bubblegum ice cream.
Sometimes it's bubblegum ice cream.
Which you
know?
Can get at Cold Stone now, and it's disgusting.
I believe it.
Bubblegum is bad.
But I will say what was so nice about this was, like, we've talked about this before in the past, I think on previous episodes about when we were talking Taylor.
Taylor. We did this a year ago. Is that wild? We did this last August for Lover. Like, even the
Lover came out
the collapse of, like, the 2 to 3 year time period that we usually wait for these out. Like, it's already thrilling that we even have it. But
well, and that's what I was going to say was, like, right out of the gate, this feels, you know, it's not calculated. It says it felt like, if they were working on this for the last several years, like what a crazy like secret that would have been. But like, this just felt like something that just happened, and it felt very organic, which is something like you don't get from any pop stars anymore. Like, you know, Beyonce dropping an album, like, you know, when she did that, it was like very well calculated. It's Beyonce's going to evolve into the next form of Beyonce, whatever, you know, like that all happened. But this album, it was sort of like a breath of fresh air, and it was kind of like it couldn't have come at a better moment, because on the first listen I was like, I wanted to listen to this in the fall, and I was like, now I get to listen to it all year round. Like, it is a fall album. It is a cozy, it's a cozy listen. It's definitely like one of those, like, you know, brisk fall mornings where you're walking around thinking about what could have been with somebody from a past life.
Yeah. But you want me to name names of who I've been thinking about from a past life?
Yeah, please.
And for you, the and listener me, at home, all three of us
2015.
Are,
hey. I've been thinking about Andrew Carnegie, and I'm going to write a song about him.
For the listener at home, all three of us are wearing cardigans. It's definitely not in the mid-90s.
Yeah. I am
sweltering
sweating.
Heat.
I have 7 candles lit.
Yeah, it's very, very cozy where we are. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
You get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
So yeah, I think my initial reaction, just to sum it up, was like skeptical and then like slow burningly, very positive, like a trend upwards. Whereas I feel like and I don't know if it's recency bias, but like maybe Lover, I had an opposite reaction with, where like at first I received it pretty well, and then it's like depreciate, except for a few songs, maybe like depreciate in value. But the thing, the thing I will say about Folklore is that there is nothing on the album that is as offensive as her worst songs, like Me or You Need to Calm Down. Like, abolish the prison system, but Taylor Swift should go to jail for those songs. but even the...
Yeah,
the,
there's nothing on here. You're right.
Lock her up in her Rhode Island home that...
I love pop anthems about property ownership.
Okay. You know, well, just like country things. Just like cottagecore, you know, little...
I do have a lot of thoughts on that song in particular, but we will
actually
get there.
That song might be the Me of this album for me personally.
I property. Feel very similar.
Okay, well, so I thought a fun way to discuss it might be to do the cuts. Now,
let's do the cuts, and then we can get into why that's...
What I did in listening to this, and I didn't ask you guys to prepare this, so like you don't have to do this, but I did go track by track, and I ranked them in terms of like... top tier, mid, below that, and then like Stinky Dinkies. And and they're ranked as Bangers, that's number one, Bops is tier number two, Jams is tier number three, and then number four tier is Turds. So it's Bangers, Bops, Jams, and Turds. And we can kind of maybe like talk about each song real quick. Of the 16, say like, this is a banger, this is a bop, this is a turd. And go from there. So like,
okay, Bangers, Bops, and Turds.
I think they should all be B's. I'm sorry, Kevin, but your system
bullshit.
I think also it should just be three. Your system's bangers, too complicated.
Wait, hold on. Bangers, Bops.
Bangers, come on. I'm just trying to.
Bops and Barf.
Or, bangers, yeah, barfs, Bops, and Barf.
Barfs or Butts. Butts.
Okay, Bangers, yeah. Bangers, Bops, and Barf. And then that way there will be a little
Kings
more.
Kings of Leon. It's full. It's on theme with what we've talked about.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Bangers, so. Bops, and barfs. Okay. We'll do it. We'll do it that way. Okay. So out of those that's so funny. That's a good punch up, actually. Okay. So the one album opener. Is this a banger, a bop, or a barf?
I'm gonna say it's a barf.
No,
really? Maybe not. So maybe a bop.
No,
maybe
don't.
A bop.
You don't have to hesitate.
Here's why. I will say this being. Hold on, I can't hear you because the mix is too loud.
I'm sorry.
I will say the reason I think it's just a bop and not a banger is that first line which is I've been what did you say?
I'm good.
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit. Mm-mm. I hate that so much because it's like Taylor Swift saying I'm on some new shit just makes me cringe. But other than that, it's a fine song.
Now, do you think that's deeply ingrained misogyny that you don't want women to speak improperly and not ladylike?
No, yeah, it's like it really drives me nuts. Like, it do be like that sometimes.
It drives me nuts that she said I'm doing good instead of I'm doing well. I mean, check yourself, Taylor. But again, as we know, they rushed this album, so you know.
Why Taylor's be like?
The but one I feel like in the hoax were like the first songs they wrote.
They're the last ones.
Oh, I thought they were the first ones.
It's the last ones.
It's a total opposite. But either way, I heard someone say that this should have been like an Ed Sheeran song, and that really soured it.
Oh,
and I think it is correct.
Savage. Oh my God. In 2020, saying this should have been an Ed Sheeran song is like saying jump off a cliff and die.
Go end it. It's not like offensive to me, but there is something that bothers me a little bit, you know?
It's just a little like, I mean, it kind of is a good one to open on, but also like.
But I'm not going to come back to it. You know,
yeah,
like
I
this
would
isn't
skip
my,
re- it.
I'm not going to re-listen.
I think that's right. I think its virtue is fully just table setting sonically the album. It's not like, oh my God, this song. I think it works best in sequence and not like, I would not put that song on a playlist for anybody.
It definitely establishes a tone and says like this is
like
kind
nice.
Of what we're in for.
I think it's a bop though. I don't think it's a banger, but I don't think it's barf.
Okay, bop works. They had some good lines. Like I wrote down like when she says we never painted by the numbers, but we were making it count. I was like, oh man, she writes some good lines every once in a while. We were just like, damn.
The songwriting here, like, I will say, as much as I enjoy her pop songwriting, the specificity of some of this stuff and the particular nuances of what she's trying to convey, and even like dumb wordplay stuff like that, I just so appreciate on this album. Very
yeah, it's so simple, but it goes a long way. It's like me. Just there you go.
I'm sampled, but I'll go all the way.
I don't know. I think I'm going to make it a barf. Not that it's like a terrible song, but that it just doesn't do anything. You know?
It's a, how about we call it a barf?
A barf.
It's a barf.
Okay,
barf.
Kevin was right. Maybe we do need four.
I'm telling you, there's new, but I think it's more, we don't have to vote which category is which. We can just kind of give our take and then boomerang back.
Okay, this is a low bop.
Okay, low bop.
Low bop.
Cardigan. Cardigan is kind of the single, quote unquote, of the album. This includes the music video for which a crew risked their lives to shoot it during the global pandemic of COVID-19 that Taylor Swift herself did direct. How do we feel about Cardigan?
Banger.
I think full banger.
Absolutely. But I knew you dancing in your Levi's, drunk under a street light. Like, oh, so good.
The melody, I think, and the central metaphor of like, I'm just some tossed off thing, and then you made me feel new again. And like, who wouldn't relate to that feeling? Let's name names of who mistreated us, and then who made us feel new again. Name names. Who picked you up like your favorite cardigan?
Well, and
I hate that metaphor.
You hate it?
Well, I hate it.
Why?
I hate it. It's like, it's just not the right object. Like, I don't think it's the right one. Like, I don't know.
I wear a lot of cardigans.
Because it's 95 degrees right now.
who's puts a cardigan, like, under their bed? I don't know. Cardigan
bothers me. I mean, you run out of closet space.
Like a sweater or just like something, I don't know, like some other object that feels
that's such a funny
the same thing. I just really bothered. It's like used candle is like the same caliber of how
candle.
I feel about a cardigan.
No, but cardigans are like it conveys warmth, it conveys threads, it's something that you sink into and feels cozy, and that's how being with a person can feel like.
I don't know, then like use sweater.
Or how about,
sweatshirt.
Weezer already did sweater.
I have more strong feelings about a sweatshirt, like a good sweatshirt, than a
cardigan. Cardigans are way more specific. It's not like she's going to be like in your no fear hoodie. Like, your pack sun.
Yeah, also if you're teenagers, like, you're not swapping cardigans, you know? Like, you don't, I'm wearing my boyfriend's cardigan.
Oh,
like, can
Caroline,
you tell?
I don't think
like,
you know what teenagers are up to right now, Caroline. On TikTok, they're swapping cardigans all the time.
Kevin,
I have a couple exes who still have my cardigans.
But that aside, I like the chorus, but for me, this is a bop. I'm not drawn to this song. I'm not circling back.
See, what I like so much about this song and why this album just works as a whole is like it really does establish this theme of like the cardigan thing comes up several more times in the album. And
Caroline's rolling her eyes so hard it's breaking the Zoom call.
Cardigan.
Well, you know what? Caroline can just dip out of the Zoom.
Just
for
pretend
a
it's a different piece of clothing. Your favorite left sock,
just
whatever.
Your favorite undershirt.
Oh my
your
God.
Favorite shoes? Do you like shoes,
my favorite,
Caroline?
My going out thong.
Well, I think that it does begin a sort of this theme and this storyline of like a teenage love triangle kind of thing between this song and a few others that we'll get to. But I think it was great. I thought it was basically what a lot of people have said is that it's this kind of like, you know, this teenage love triangle with her and somebody else and another girl and like, you know, how... Yeah, she just feels like the cardigan kind of thing. I don't know. It worked for me. It just was great.
All right. Hey, can you get closer to your mic, by the way?
Yeah, am I not? Is that?
Oh, that'll be better for record, though.
That's better.
The closer you are, it's like kissing it. Yeah.
Pretend it's like your favorite cardigan.
Shut up.
Cardigan. Really close to it.
I love how offensive that is to you. Okay.
It just bugs.
I get it.
I think this is also the thing that I think is going to be a big issue for me on this album, too, is I am not bought into the trilogy of songs of the teenage love triangle.
Okay.
I don't think it's very good.
Interesting.
And I think it's just like... I don't know. It's just like, whatever. You know, anybody could have written this.
Let's go to the last great American dynasty. We talked about it before. Is this a barf?
Barf.
You think it's
this is a total barf.
Okay.
I think it's a barf.
I will get positive about this album soon, by the way. I promise.
Don't worry about it. But like,
I think it's a barf. Here's why. There's something like, immediately I'm kind of like into it at first. I'm not like hooked on it. Like this whole Rebecca rode up on an afternoon train. I was like, ugh, I don't know, whatever. And then she goes into this whole story about this American dynasty about who is it, the Andrew Carnegie or who is it?
It's Rebecca Harkness.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no,
sure.
But the guy she married is like John. Doesn't matter.
It's John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
So Rebecca and John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
William Harkness. Who inherited a large share of Standard Oil.
Standard Oil.
Yeah.
So what I hated about this was immediately when she said, and then I bought the house or whatever she says.
Yeah. It would have been such a better song too. Yeah. If she just maybe talked about
that history. It just felt like that thing where it was like, that's so unrelatable. No. How many people have bought the old house of a ex, you know, like dynasty.
Like tycoon. Yeah.
Yes. And here's the thing. Here's the thing we should say about the cycle between Lover and this album is like Taylor has been keeping up with some stuff. I think she's spoken out pretty well and eloquently about Black Lives Matter stuff and even like Confederate statues in Tennessee. Like, I feel like she's been pretty clear and good about that stuff. One thing she didn't clue in on is how we all hate rich people now. And so talking about houses warfare. You own is not a good
no,
look.
She's still on the girl boss streak. We hate rich. That's over.
Yes.
No.
It really felt like a romance movie that I did not need to see. You know, like it tells the story of both this Rebecca who's married to a tycoon and then this young pop star who now buys the house. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, it felt like it could have been an interesting story, but she dwelt on like the uninteresting parts of it, which
is her
like,
buying the house. Like if
the
it
marriage
was
quickly falling apart and Rebecca being unpopular because she's too fun. You know, it's like I just. The story, it's not there for me.
And isn't that all women?
And then isn't that crazy how it's like just like Taylor? You know, I just, yeah, it's like it brings in the most kind of unappealing part of Taylor too.
I think that's right. It's a low bop to high bar for me. Okay. Exile, the duet with the first man of the woods himself to Taylor for From Ever Ago or whatever it's called. For Emma Forever Ago, for Taylor Forever Ago.
Truly a banger. This song is 110% a banger. It's gonna rip you apart in 10 years from now.
Oh my god.
It's gonna rip you apart.
I'm so glad you feel the same.
I think it's a high bop. I don't think it's a banger. I think it's a high bop.
Kevin, unfortunately you are incorrect.
When they're both singing at the same time and it just rips you in half.
By the way, bop is not, I dislike this song. I like pretty much every song on this album. I'm just saying like,
Kevin, if you don't worship this song, you're wrong.
Yeah, unfortunately. I know you're trying to split hairs here, but this is a banger.
I know. And by the way, even people familiar with Bon Iver's discography, I will say it is still a little unsettling to hear him sing in the lower register. I'm like, ugh.
Yes, I was going to say.
Who's this
like,
man?
I've never heard him do band. I want in the bass class.
Yes, I want him to sound like a dog being put to sleep like he usually does. Like,
I thought it was gorgeous.
Yes.
And I don't think the song would have been good if he wasn't on it because it like, the anchor of him like drawing it way down and then her being really light and like Taylor-y.
Fully
worked. It was beautiful.
It felt so rugged and also delicate at the same time. And that's what the sort of like juxtaposition is actually what made it just, it killed for me. Like I loved it.
I loved it. And I also love, there's the lyric of looking at him like he's your understudy, I think is so good.
Oh yeah, man.
And then the way that they're singing rhyming lyrics, but they'll change one word. If he'll say, "You were my town," and she says, "You were my crown," and then
he says, "You were my
clown." Who am I defending? And then she says, "Who am I offending?" Oh, I love that moment. I think a lot of people could relate to that story too. Of like, you've moved on, and maybe the ex feels like you moved on too quick, or like you didn't feel anything about it, and you're just like, what's your deal? Like, you broke up with me. Yeah. You know, it's over. So why are you so upset? You know?
Yeah. And again, this is a way more resonant theme than owning a huge house in Rhode Island.
Yes. I know.
I will say, though, that this is like slightly why it's a high bop for me is like, I think it's a great song and I really enjoy it. And I love the bridge. So step right up and all that stuff. But it does feel a titch musical theatery to me, where I could see Glinda and Elphaba singing this at the end of Wicked.
Yeah, I get that.
And I would love it. And then I would go see Wicked every single day.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
It's a great song. It's phenomenal. I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending.
Which also, this song also, I think, introduces one of the themes of the album, which is
film?
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of film references.
This girl loves to hit the cinema.
Taylor's a real cinephile.
In the one, she starts talking about movies. She loves film. She's like Keanu Reeves. I love movies.
She loves
making movies. I love going to the movies. You guys seen that clip, right?
Yeah.
Where he goes, I love movies. It's incredible.
There's another theme in this song, too, that is introduced, which is fine lines or tight ropes.
Mm.
A lot of that.
Tight rope. Oh, I can't wait for the next appearance of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
it. I like it. I like it a lot.
My Tears Ricochet. Banger, bop, barf.
I'm going to say banger, an emotional banger. This was, it just really worked for me. Like, this is like these two songs back to back just ripped my guts out. My guts are on the floor.
Till my dying day. I don't know if she's going to pull that off live, whatever she sings. Like, there's so much low register stuff happening on this, which I think is like a function of the aesthetics, but it feels weird to think of it being translated live.
Yeah.
I feel like this was such an important song and maybe like the most important song for her on this album just as an individual.
Ooh.
Just because it was sort of a farewell to her previous work. Like, that's what she wrote it about, was like sort of saying goodbye to her past songs. Like, a lot of people think it's about like her, an ex or something like that.
Or but Scooter Braun.
Yeah, there's a lot of real world narrative that you can apply as the bad guy, it's like Scooter Braun stuff. Like that one song where she's like, I'm shooting cannons at your yacht. Again, super relatable stuff. From my three farms, I'm shooting cannons at your $12 million yacht. But yeah, I think it's like Scooter Braun and all the label stuff is the bad guy.
Yeah. I wanted to say one thing about what Taylor writes about, mm-hmm. which is that I feel torn. Like, I like it when she goes outside of love in general, because I mean, she's so rich at this point that it's hard to talk about anything else without it being super unrelatable. Mm-hmm. But I think I said this with Lover, too. Like, I kind of wish there was a song about, like, the music industry or, like, business decisions or losing friends because you're famous now or not being able to be a part of people's lives because you have this barrier. Like, I think that would be a really interesting song.
I think there is a song like that on this album, though, which we'll get to when we talk about it.
Unfortunately, Ricochet is a barf for me.
All right. The next one.
Sorry.
You're wrong. Just.
That's, I'm sure. I agree. I understand.
Mirrorball.
Want you to know.
Banger. Banger, 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 banger.
Am I at a baseball game? Because this song is a grand slam.
This thing, okay, and I'm wondering if this is generational. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a little bit younger than me, and they were like, no, Mirrorball sucks. I'm like, you suck, and I hate you. You're not my friend anymore.
Why was it a generational? Because you talked to one person younger than you?
Because I'm wondering, and we're like all roughly within the ballpark of each other's age. I wonder, because there's so much like Lilith Fair, and even to GCF, like Sixpence None the Richer core and like 90s jangly stuff, Natalie Merchant,
yeah, that's true.
And all that stuff embedded, and even Mirrorball, that's like a Sarah McLachlan album title. And I feel like there's a little bit of Jesus and Mary Chain on it too, and I think it's so musically rich, it made me feel great immediately listening to it. I wanted to take a bath in it. And Caroline, I think this is the song that does talk
about... You actually are right, which I didn't I knew that, and I forgot about that when I was making my earlier point. But I was like, that was something I wrote down in my notes when I listened to this, was like, oh, it's cool to hear her talk about what it's like to be famous and to stand in front of fans that like adore you and don't know you. I thought that was pretty magnificent.
There's one lyric on here. Let me find it.
You find me on my tallest tiptoes.
Okay, now I did hear that as you'll find me on the toilet when I first heard it. Let me play it again.
Relatable.
Hang on.
You find me on my toilet.
Again,
it's all about Squatty Potty.
It's branded content for Squatty Potty. We're so proud to announce the folklore line of Squatty Potties. There's
I've been constipated in years and years.
I love this song.
I will say I did love this song as well. It's so, so well written and just like very sweet. And it really does pay homage to like 90s rock, like in a weird, like 90s like alt rock or indie rock, I guess. Like it is, there is something very satisfying about that.
You guys,
what?
This song just reminded me of a big oversight on our part when we were talking about the music of the summer.
What?
Katy Perry's Clown album. We didn't talk about Smile at all.
Did it come out?
Wait, did an album come out or is it just a single?
I think it's just a single. I'm not 1,000% sure.
All right, I've been seeing a lot of clown stuff already.
Not a great sign. I will say, oh my God, what a nightmare. I will say the Taylor gives shouts out to a few clowns on this album.
She sure does.
It's the summer of clowning. Finally.
Wait, who does she give a shout out to?
She's literally says clowns to the right of me in peace, I think.
And then she also says rodeo clowns in the bridge.
She does say rodeo clowns, yes.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. And I like the humility of this song too. And that like, I like the line that she says is like, nothing comes naturally. All I do is try, try, try.
Mm-hmm. Which is like,
we can all be like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
We are aware, Taylor.
We are aware, but we like that about you. You know?
We like that you now know
yes.
We know you're trying.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think that actually speaks to what you're talking about like the, especially the kind of surface level dichotomy of authentic folky Taylor and pop star Taylor, where this is kind of a pop construction in this song, but she's using it to say, all I do is try, 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 which like for as much as you can as a huge millionaire pop star is like a sort of confession of like, I know I'm type A, I know Miss Americana, that Netflix documentary was a lot. And I know, yes, all I do is try, try, try. And it is getting at something that I do think is really interesting. What do you guys think of
please picture me
seven
in the trees? I hit my peak at seven.
Wow.
Love it. Bang.
Two votes for banger.
G-E-R. Banger. I thought it was incredible.
Absolute banger. The amount of movements, I was just like, whoa, I did not see this coming.
So beautiful. I love, again, like operating in these different modes from like inhabiting the perspective of a male or a fictional character or telling history. This like preteen, but like child perspective in the lyrics, I think is just so, it's such an interesting thing to inhabit and to write from that perspective. And it doesn't feel inauthentic. It feels like she's like revisiting or getting at something that is like very true. And you don't have like the burden of autobiography to lay upon all of it. And I thought it was just such a lovely story. And the stuff it was getting at, oh, I thought it was beautiful. This might be the masterpiece of the album for me.
I mean, the piano work is incredible. And that was one of the other things that I think that this album does so well is like, you know, a lot of people are going to look at like Taylor and her storytelling and stuff like that. But the arrangements are just so beautiful and never overproduced on this album. It really is just so satisfying to hear a song that's exactly what it needs. Nothing less, nothing more. And that's what like August to me is just like such a great reminder of how incredible.
Seven or August?
I mean, did I say seven? I meant August. I mean, they're all.
We're talking
really
about seven.
Sorry, I meant this whole album. It's just like, gotcha, I meant gotcha. Seven, sorry. But yes. Seven yeah. was where I was like, oh, the arrangements here are incredible.
Mm-hmm. Caroline, incredible. Rebuttal?
I like it. This is a solid bop for me.
Okay, a bop.
Yeah.
I'm going to say banger. I mean, I don't know. There's something about when she's just, as soon as she gets to Sweet Tea in the summer, I was like, oh, man, like, I'm in. I'm on board. But I think that, like, it's a solo banger. As in, a lot of these songs I can only listen to by myself and really enjoy mm-hmm. them because they do feel so deeply personal. And mm-hmm. her use of imagery and appealing to the senses actually, I think, makes it such an interesting listen alone versus a lot of her other albums, which is like, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. And we're like, uh-oh.
Aggressive. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of, like, me and the boys are going to queue up 7 and sing along.
Please think of me.
The verse two, I've been meaning to tell you, I think your house is haunted. Your dad is always mad, and that must be why. I think you should come live with me, and we can be pirates, and you won't have to cry. That shit is just very touching and evocative, and I think it's such a lovely song.
And that song is also such a huge nostalgia bomb. You know, I feel like that maybe should have opened the album. I feel like that kind of sets the tone.
I think it's a little too heavy for a first... for an opener, maybe. I don't know. I go back and forth on that. August, Augie Doggy, the gall of this lady to release an album in July with a song about August? I don't even know yet.
I never needed anything more or whispers.
Under the milky twilight. Kiss me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're totally right, Kevin, about the sound of this being more appealing to us.
That's what I think too. And you know, she's 30. She's 30 years old, and she feels like it in a good way on this album. What'd you guys think of August?
Loved August. It's so good.
August
it's just
is beautiful.
So sweet and like nostalgic. I like really, it's so bad because like in the past, like I have much more, it's so much more fun to poke fun at Taylor, like trying to do something that's just kind of silly and stupid. All of these songs are just like so, they just work for me. Like listening to them time and time again, I can see myself listening to this and it aging perfectly in 20 years.
We'll sing this at your bachelor party, Anthony Trolley.
Aww. In 20 years?
Yeah, in 20 years.
I could see us lost in the memory. When is my bachelor party? Why am I?
I'm just saying a bunch of nice boys getting together and singing.
We're going to go to a strip club and be like, can you guys play August?
Earlier I said I didn't like the trilogy, but I do like August. I think it's nice.
Augie Doggy. Come on.
Yeah. Now. And it is very like. Yeah, a nice little teen story to be like, I canceled my plans in case you called and I was waiting around for you. Like, that's a teenager.
It's just so dreamy and mm-hmm. like in a way that like also feels real because it does. It is, as she says in it, like August slipped away into a moment of in time. It is like memories in a way feel like dreams. And like at this point, you know, it feels like something that you don't even know if
especially
it happened
now.
To you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. Any memory you had feels like it was like part of some different life that you might have lived. And like, that's what I love so much about this album is it does feel so removed from that teenager experience and yet mm-hmm. still feels so real about it. Like it touches on it.
I think it's savvy the way it's playing with stuff where it's like an ill-fated summer romance is so like swift core from the beginning, mm-hmm. but the musical language it's using to communicate that is so... novel and interesting. This is me trying. This sounds like the Archer kind of to me, like the kind of like droniness of it. This whole album's kind of archery. What do y'all think of This Is Me Trying?
This is the one that you can really feel Justin Vernon's touch on this track. Like it, a lot of them you really feel it, but this really feels like a Bon Iver song in a way, in so many ways. You know, from the production to just sort of like the lyrics. I don't think Justin Verdon would ever sing "This Is Me Trying" as a chorus,
this is
but
me
I can
try.
This is me trying.
This is me trying.
But I will say it's a bop and not a banger.
I think it's full banger. Unfortunately, like it got in my head so much. It was so sticky and reverby and like very lush.
Let's just keep in mind, like, we have to cut five songs from
this. I know.
And I know
this is
going to
be tough.
Towards the end, there's a few barfs, but I will say, like, already, like, she's batting, like, 800 or 900 right now.
She's doing well.
Pretty good.
Okay, illicit affairs. Illicit affairs.
She bang, she move. A bang. Let's bang.
Absolutely. Like this is an easy one. Great. Are you full banger on it, Trolley?
I do. I think Taylor loves cheating, and I'm glad that she owns
it. Wait a minute. I don't think that's the takeaway.
So you're all in on this being a first person account from her life.
She loves a good open relation.
She loves cheating.
No, it's not. I think it's a fictional exercise.
It's very good. I do think that this is like, it is one of those things. Like, I loved it. Caroline will say differently, but
no, I did love it.
No, she says
this bangs.
She says
yeah.
But this is one of the three. This is the triple dip right here.
Maybe you're just so out on Betty that it ruins the trilogy for you.
Wait, this isn't part of the trilogy, is it? I thought it was August, Cardigan, and Betty.
Oh. I thought it was Cardigan, Illicit Affairs, and Betty.
Interesting. Kevin?
I'm looking it up right now.
Can we get our computer guy on that?
Computer guy? Gosh.
Computer guy, hello. The trilogy at the Center of Folklore began with Cardigan, Betty, and August.
Oh, interesting.
I thought Illicit Affairs was part of it too, I think. Oh, might be.
I see how it fits, though. I feel like it makes a lot of sense that it would be.
Don't call me baby. I think all this.
But even still, I love this song. I think, as Trolley would say, it is a heart wrencher. It is a heart or a ripper, I think. And I love the lines about, like, you showed me colors you know I can't see with anyone else. Like, things that would be really embarrassing to say out loud as a person, but in the song are just like,
oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Using a fictional construct to do it.
Yeah. Well, supposedly.
Oh,
yeah. I do wonder.
It's fully autobiographical.
You think she's going to tell us that she cheated, Kevin? Come on.
Maybe.
I mean,
Taylor, drop the divorce album. Get married first and then drop the divorce album. Like Adele's about to do.
A million little times. It's great.
A million little lies. Mm-hmm. Invisible String, which is a song about the dance Conan does out on the monologue.
Okay. Green was the color of the grass. Taylor's famous color work.
Red was
I did not
blue
like that line.
She loves
at
doing
all.
Palettes.
Wait,
green
I told
you was the color of the grass. I'm like, yeah. What other color would it be?
Did I tell you about?
The thing is, I don't
teal
mind,
was the. She's like running out of colors.
I don't mind color
magenta.
Work, but like, if you said something like that was unexpected, the way that like gray skies might be unexpected, and but green was the color. I'm like,
mm-hmm. Like okay.
Blue was the color of the. Flower.
Okay, we're fixing on like, this. Invisible String is a is a freaking banger though. It's
oh,
such
it bangs.
A banger.
It bangs so hard.
Bang, 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 bang.
I love it. I
Comedy
love it.
Bang, bang.
I will say it's a banger, but if a lot of people... So I did listen to this song on Spotify, and what Spotify has on for pretty much every album at this point that where they put money behind it is they have these like weird little like looped videos.
You can turn those
playing.
Off. I do, and it's
I turn them off.
Much better
yeah.
See,
experience.
I should turn it off because I had to see for Invisible String... I had to
what
see the most uncomfortable like video I've ever seen of Taylor Swift. Now, I'm going to show you guys this. And for the listeners, I warn you, don't look at it because it's a train wreck that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Here you go. Ready? Wait.
Oh no!
Are you uncomfortable yet?
She's doing an apology
shoot.
That's it. That's all it is. But it makes me feel very.
And it just loops. It's like a vine.
That freaks me out. I don't like that.
Taylor's just in a little dress and she's bending down looking at the camera. It's not what you want.
She looks like she's in Midsommar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a horror. Like she's about to bend backwards after that.
Like she's going to get murdered, like disturbingly. And I don't know. It just made me feel weird. But the song itself, great. Phenomenal.
Great song.
This is about Joe, right? Like this is a Joe song. Yeah. Like she's getting so specific about you went to the place in LA. I like we went to Centennial Park. Like there's a lot of locations.
We went to Sugarfish.
We went to Nobu.
We went to the Grove.
We went to John and Vinny's.
We took the 405 then a 101 to the
very specific LA song.
I love this song. I think it's beautiful, and this is a great sappy song too, and I love it. It makes me think of my husband and being in love and just being drawn together no matter what.
Oh, maybe it's a barf.
It's so
you know
sweet.
What? Maybe it's a barf. I'm just kidding. No, full banger.
I switch it to a barf.
Next song by Taylor Swift, Mad Woman. Banger.
I'm gonna call it a barf.
Bop
I'm gonna
or
just.
Barf.
Yeah.
I think
I'm gonna
it
say
is.
Barf.
It's a barf.
I think it's full barf.
What did you think I'd say to that?
It's a Lana Del Rey song, is it not?
Oh yeah, you're totally right.
It doesn't have anything about being an. In, I mean, here's the thing, Lana Del Rey. Kevin and I have been talking. I've talked about this a few times because my girlfriend is a huge Lana Del Rey fan. And Lana Del Rey always talks about how she's a crazy woman and a crazy lady and I'm a little baby.
I'm a little baby, change my diaper.
I'm kind of fucked up. Like I date cops.
I'm crazy.
But people thought that it was a joke. People thought that she was Randy Newman or like some songwriter inhabiting a POV. It turns out she actually does love cops.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Why is not any like great female comedian not put out like the Blue Lives Matter too, don't you know? Like the pro cop Lana parody album is what I've been waiting for. But Mad Woman, yeah. It feels like an exploration of some of the things she was doing on The Man, on Lover, and it is a more personal take than The Man, which feels like a Lena Dunham first draft of like men actually have it better. It's like
it is her particular feminism at this moment, which is still just like I as a white woman deserve even more, you know, which you know sexism is real no matter what's like class you're in or whatever, but it is just kind of like first steps, you know, in figuring this out. And I think there are lyrics in that I enjoy, but I would say probably like Gaslighter might be a better song on this theme than Mad Woman.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I also like, I just never buy into Taylor's like
sexual politics with feminism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Bar for me.
But I want her to keep trying. Like I want her to keep getting better. You know,
this is her trying and I believe it's going to continue to happen.
I will say that we had a similar discussion on the previous one on the previous album where it's like whenever she makes like a kind of political statement or something like that, we're like, oh gosh, shut up, Taylor. Like you're already like you're 2 years behind. But also a lot of her audience is a little behind. So like to me, I'm like
it's good in some ways.
I forgive her and no one at that at the record label is gonna fight her on a song like that, you know.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's like should we tell her
a politically risky song at this point?
It's like should we tell her it's not good? Like, no, shut up. She's gonna fire you. She wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But
okay, let's zoom through the next few real quick. Epiphany, this is like the one most explicitly about COVID-19 stuff, and it's a reflection of some personal family experiences, her grandfather's experience in the military.
Yeah, it's a barf.
That to the full barf. Already full barf.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, don't get me wrong.
So you don't have respect for our first responders and healthcare workers.
It's so any song. I just think
that they just no. It's I have so much respect for them. I think they deserve
the troops,
a better song.
Or the veterans.
So you don't like the troops is what I'm hearing.
I love the troops. Love the first. Love the COVID-19.
I love the first. The first what?
The COVID-19 first responders.
First, I love the first row.
First row
patient. Patient zero. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. This was kind of a barf for me too. It was like almost something, and then it just kind of was like, okay.
Okay. Well, Betty. Betty is the one probably inspiring the most discourse online right now in terms of we stan a queer icon, Taylor Swift. Sure. Betty, I won't make assumptions about why. And there's a, you know what? Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang talked about this today. They came at it from two different perspectives about like, is it queer baiting? Is it not? Is writing from a male perspective in itself queer baiting because it's playing around with gender? And it's two cis straight white people. We can definitely weigh on this with a lot of confidence and authority as far as this. And if you want it to be your gay anthem, sure. I see no issue with it, obviously. But I don't think the intention is that she's writing as a female character, like whether it is like whatever you want it to be. I think it is like I'm a boy kid in high school with my skateboard and would you have me at the party with the cardigan and all that stuff, you know. And she says, would you tell me to go F myself, Taylor?
Yeah, a couple F-bombs in this album.
Yeah. Oh,
damn.
Next album, she's going to use the C word multiple times.
I thought Betty was a bop, not quite a banger, but I love it as a part of the trilogy. And I think her songwriting here is where, like, some really cool Taylor Swift lyrics.
Total bop for me, too. I think it's so solid, and I love the kind of, like, almost Dylan-esque shitty harmonica with the plucked guitar. I think it's great. It feels great.
It's a bop.
It's a fun time. Bop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Peace, the penultimate song.
Before we move on from Betty, just talk about how she said, or like, would you tell me to go fuck myself or lead me to the garden? She loves the garden. What happened in the garden? Why is...
You're talking about so garden gates from Cruel Summer and yeah.
So much of her formative years. Like, did she lose her virginity in a garden? Like, what happened?
I don't know. She's always, like, coming back to the country, you know, at the end of the day. I know a garden isn't maybe necessarily country.
Loves a good garden gate.
Yeah. She loves a winsome, whimsical, musing outdoor space.
Her whims and whimsies go to the garden.
And peace. She's kind of an Anglophile now, too, so that might be part of it.
True.
Are cardigans like a British thing?
I'd say so.
They are now. Peace should have been the album closer, but it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm with you, yeah.
Peace should have ended the album.
It didn't feel... It's not a banger. It's not... But it's not quite a bop. It's not barf either.
I think it's a full banger. I think it's... 1000% really? Bangy bangy.
Can you get to the chorus? I kind of can't remember what it is. But I'm a fire and I'll keep your brittle heart warm. If you cascade ocean wave blues come, all these people think love's for show, but I would die for your secret. The devil's in the details, but you got a friend in me. Oh, I love this song. Would it be enough
if I could never give you peace? To me, I don't think it's a banger, but I do think it's a perfect album closer because I think it is a thing of like knowing. To me, this song says everything I know about love and everything I've ever been through. I'm now finally happy, but what if I can't give this person who I love and adore so much everything that he deserves? And I think that that is like so painful and so beautiful and so reflective all at once. And I really think it's truly beautiful. But I don't see it as a banger.
I love it. No, I think it's a full banger for what it's trying to do. It's not one you're going to rock out with your D out, obviously, and put on the sound.
Well, I did. I did. And that's probably where I went wrong. I had my dick out and...
Oh,
yeah,
rocking. That's going to leave you hanging. That's
Oh, I was hanging all right.
That's a cool gust of wind on the old dog that day.
Well, and two, the idea of like, obviously, it's specific to her personal experience of like, okay, Mr. Taylor Swift, your life is going to kind of suck in terms of like public eye and attention stuff. But also resonating with the personal thing that we can all feel of, I can promise you certain things, I can absolutely not promise you other things in a committed relationship. And there's some things that would just always be out of my control, and whatever it is, and they're different for mm-hmm. all of us. But I thought that was a beautifully resonant idea.
It's so pretty too. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, picture this. I was listening to this last night on my bike at night with like my little wheel lights going and like the dark, empty streets.
You listen to music on your bike? Good.
Yeah, only because it was like nighttime and there were no cars in my neighborhood anyway. So
just little kids
jamming out. Yeah, just children, like animals. I don't know.
So that feels like a great closer, but then we get one more. We get what certain people in this country think COVID-19 is. A hoax.
My comrades.
I thought this was such a baffling... It's a low bop, high bar for me, because the sequencing bummed me out so much. After peace, I just want to float off.
Yeah.
And then Hoax is like, by the way... You know,
one more thing.
It's kind of like whenever you go to, you know, when you go to a concert and it's like the encore happens, right? And they come out and they're like, hey, we're going to play a few more songs. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool. Well, they play like one song and you're like, that warmed me up. And then the second song comes on and you're like, yeah, that's the best song. They played the best song. They played it right now for the encore. And then they play one more and you're like, yeah, we're heading for I'm sorry.
It's fine. It just feels it's a weird unresolved to leave the album on, and I do wonder if it's like, yeah, this feels unresolved. That's why you need to buy the deluxe edition from my website, which has the bonus track as
Lakes.
The closer. Yeah. I didn't even listen to Lakes. I didn't even do it.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not fair to even talk about Lakes considering like
it's elitist to talk about Lakes.
It is,
yeah, that's class warfare.
To talk about Lakes.
It's class warfare to discuss
it's privilege.
Lakes.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
On our Patreon. Jesus.
You guys also have a house in Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
Yet another movie lyric in this. I like it. I don't know. I like the lyrics. I like the grudge in it a little bit. I don't care that much, I guess, about album order. So it doesn't like offend me on that level.
I'm offended.
I'm sorry. It doesn't make me like bitch out like you two do. But
how dare you?
I'm kidding.
How dare you give it a word for what we do? We bitch out.
The pool boys are coming
hey,
for you.
The Cabana
you
boys will not let a bad album sequencing stand.
About this issue.
The Cabana boys are coming for you, Aaron Dessner.
I like it. I think it's nice. Yeah, maybe a high bop for me.
Okay,
not quite a banger, but I respect
it. All right, gang, we have to cut 5 songs now from the album.
Let's do it.
A made up thing. And now,
okay, easily Dynasty is gone. We're done.
Well, for the real fans, somebody will create Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift's Folklore, the GCF cut.
Deluxe
like
GCF
that'll be
edition.
Its really yeah that edition. I guess there's
with
like
the opposite
how many editions
of director's
are there?
Cut. You get less album.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, some directors want to cut. I would say yes, Dynasty. I think for sure, Mad Woman. We can all agree on that as a cut.
Yeah,
I'm on board with. So
I
we're
could get
cutting.
Rid of This Is Me Trying. I didn't really care too much.
So wait, hold on. We've already gotten rid of The Last Great American Dynasty, right?
Yeah, we got 2: Last Great American Dynasty. And frickin' Mad Woman, Lana Del Rey cosplay, that's gone. And then what else?
Epiphany,
we can lose. Okay, we're at 3. We need to lose 2 more. Sorry to Taylor's grandfather. Thank you for your service, but we do hate the troops on GCF.
Well, put it out as a single and say it's specifically for COVID-19. Like,
yes!
Yeah.
And then all proceeds go to the hospital, whatever.
I should be her marketing person. I don't know why I'm not.
Leave some goodies in the vault, Taylor. We want to come back to this like 30. And after your departure from this earth, your family's going to want some B-sides for the estate. So
do like modern singers ever do that? Like they put out their whole album and then everyone loves it. And they're like, well, here's one song that didn't make it. But I thought you'd like this
Tame Impala
oh,
does that
yeah,
a lot.
Oh, they do?
The time,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They,
okay.
Like, put out a few like basically EPs after an album came out and they were like, here's from that era.
Oh,
and you're like,
interesting.
What?
That's crazy. Cool.
Can I propose we cut Hoax?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, we can cut hoax.
Hoax.
And the one.
And the one?
Ooh. You open on cardigan?
I
think it could open on cardigan.
I think cardigan's too much as an opener. That's why I think you need I Forgot You Existed to get to Cruel Summer. I think you need the one to get to cardigan. I want to respect Taylor's autonomy.
What's the opening of Act Two?
Yeah, exactly. You have to think about the arc of the list.
No one listens to albums all the way through anymore, Kevin. Pick faves. Shuffle them.
I'm sorry. I need to take my musical cues from the girl who just found out what Here You Come Again is.
Who admitted I haven't listened to new music in like 4 months.
So wait, hold on. We've cut the last great American dynasty.
Yes.
Mad Woman. Epiphany. Mad Woman. Hoax. We need one more cut. This Is Me Trying? I'll give that up.
I would like to get rid of This Is Me Trying.
All right. We did it. So then...
No, Trolley, do you agree?
I'm
this
thinking back.
This is me trying.
I just wanted you to know.
I just don't like it. I feel like it's a song written by a selfish person thinking they're being selfless, you know?
Well, how many times have you heard I'm trying in a fight and it's been true?
Yeah, this I is guess me trying. Like that alone is just like, ugh.
I think I'm fine with that, but it's This Is Me Trying coming out on a bonus EP would be a must because it is a good song. I just think it's like, yeah, for the purposes of I don't know because I do I
do
like
you have
albums.
Another nominee that you'd like well, to
I would do my Tears Ricochet. I would do my Tears Ricochet.
I would too.
Okay.
Because I think that This Is Me Trying almost like if you look at it thematically, I mean, you could find a reason to keep it around because of the fact that it feels like this woman who's like on the wrong side of an affair and you're just like, you know, I don't know. There's so many different things that you could like pull from it. And that's what I like about it. So
this is what's interesting about this album is that there's no me. There's no, I did something bad. There's no, look right. What you made me do. Where you're just like, Barf City, you're the mayor, Taylor. Like, it's.
Well, we called them, we used to call, in the last one, we called them songs, where if she puts in front of it, it just makes it feel that much like worse.
You need to calm down.
That sass, I'm just like, oh, I hate those songs. And I don't think there's one on here. I don't know if they have any songs.
Betty. So I'm good with
but
Tears
This Is
Ricochet.
Me Trying is. This Is Me Trying is the closest to an song.
Oh.
This
okay.
Is Me Trying.
Well, on the merit of that argument alone, let's cut it. So now the GCF sequencing, the album is now 44 minutes long. It goes The One, Cardigan, Exile, My Tears Ricochet, Mirror Ball, Seven, August, Illicit Affairs, Invisible String, Betty, Peace. That rocks. That
Peace
is
out,
so
Betty.
Good.
That's so good.
This is exciting. I'm looking forward to listening to Mirror Ball in Exile like right after Mirror this is over.
So now on this version, did you put this on Spotify? Because I actually will subscribe to that. Because that's
That would be nice as a way to listen to this. Okay.
Yes. I'll send it to you guys. And then how do you rank this album, even in just the 1 week you've had, in relation to her others? Is it your favorite, your second favorite, your third, your fourth, your fifth?
Okay, this is controversial, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't really talked about this with anybody yet, but I'm going to say number one. I'm going to say this feels like Taylor has grown
a lot. You don't
think
that's a recency bias, Trolley?
Or
do you think this is your style as an album?
That's what I will say. I think this is the perfect crossover of the Taylor Swift that I love, which is singer-songwriter her, and then her working with two of my favorite artists currently working. I mean, I love The National. I love Bon Iver. So to me, like, this is the best Taylor Swift album I'm going to get. And I'd be very surprised unless she puts out something with, like, Arcade Fire or something like that next.
Ew.
Yeah, that would not work out very well.
Keep the car running.
But I do see myself, like, this is something where I will probably buy the vinyl. I will listen to this in 20 years. The rest of it is, like, don't get me wrong. I love Taylor. I do. I think she's great. But this, to me, like, really made so much sense to me, and it was perfect and just reminded me what an amazing songwriter she really is.
I would put it squarely at number three. It would go, it's still Red for me, and the high highs of that I think are are higher than the highs of Folklore. Red, 1989, mm-hmm. Folklore.
You like then, 22. You're always listening to 22.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. I think it was Folklore, then Lover, then everything else.
I don't know about you. I'm going number two.
Oh, thank you. I'm on the, you'll find me on my toilet.
Yeah, that's the partner song to this.
I mean, well, what about Speak Now? You didn't like Mean
I love Speak Now.
Dear John and Back to December.
But I'm
too recent of a fan to like talk about those earliest albums.
I'm okay, like Caroline. I'm more of like a, yeah, I got on the bandwagon with Red.
I like Red, yeah.
Yeah.
What about that?
Red, 1989, Lover, and then Folklore.
Interesting.
But I still really like Folklore. I think, I mean, I just like Taylor Swift, so I think they're all good. And yeah. I love that we all just like forget Reputation happened.
Oh, thank God we do, because Reputation was the one where I was like, I don't know, how am I supposed to be a fan of this? There's nothing I can buy into.
What do you want? She has a song called "This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things." You know, it's just like
that'd be like if someone put out, if like Lady Gaga put out a song called "You Want to Feel Old." 2020 was yesterday, or something like that. Or I was today years old when I found out.
Yeah,
or something.
Or like adulting. yes. Yeah, it's gross.
I still contend there's like five excellent greatest of all time songs on Reputation. Delicate is so good.
Like Delicate's great. Yeah.
Delicate and even Gorgeous. But yeah. Well, this has been fun. Thanks for doing this, Talking Taylor team. What a fun hang.
Thanks, Trolley, for Talking Taylor.
Thank you, Trolley.
I'm always happy to talk Taylor. And
I
you
love
know, we
Talking Taylor.
I hope that she drops another album, you know, a surprise album soon, full of her whimsies and pains and glories.
Her whimsies and woodles and doodles.
My goo-goos and gagas. yes.
All right, what song are we going out on from Folklore GCF sequenced edition?
This is me trying, but we remix it to "This Is Me Leaving."
Oh my gosh! Okay,
exile, ditch this podcast.
Yeah, because "This Is Me Trying," we cut. So let's go out on
how August since so oh this is coming out on the last day of July. So maybe
that's a good one.
Let's lead say into August.
Let's say
welcome to August, folks.
Let's say goodbye to July and hello to August with the August cut. Follow Anthony Trolley at anthonytrolley.com, at Caroline's Farts on Letterboxd, most importantly. And you can follow me at Kevin T. Porter. Everyone be kind to one another out there. I love you.
What's that new sign off? No.
All right, we'll see you next time when we do something a bit different. Goodbye.
Hey, take care of yourself. See us lost in the memory. August slipped away into a moment in time. Cause it was never mine. And I can see us twisted in bed sheets. August slipped away like a bottle of wine. Cause you were never mine. That was a HeadGum Podcast.